I suppose that it's not just man and the pamphlet. So you can excuse me for looking so sharp. I can't help, you know? My mother is short and my mother's father is short. So it's part of my genes. And I don't hope to speak long, so I will be short. We give greetings from St. Vincent and the Grenadines. And I want to say that if you have never gone to St. Vincent, you are meeting, you are missing part of your life. You must come to St. Vincent. It's a lovely, lovely place. Isaiah chapter 6. We have heard about pioneering work. We have heard about evangelism. We have heard about the family and all that it entails in rebuilding of the church. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1 reads, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on the throne high and lifted up. And the train of the dwarf filled the temple." I want to come on to verse 4. "And the post of the door was shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. So I said, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the servants flew to me, having in his hand a live coal, which had taken with the tongues from off the altar. And he touched my mouth and said, "Behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away, and your sin is purged." Also I heard the voice of the Lord say, "Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" Then I said, "Here am I, send me." Amen. Today we conclude our last night at this conference. We have heard much, and I trust we have learned much. But we will desire most of all that we do much for what we have learned. Beloved, we want to look tonight briefly at a man who saw, he heard, he acted on what he saw, and he obeyed God. We have often talked about the mission field, how wide it is, where the needs are. But many of us thought, but we don't act. We recognize that there are challenges that are facing us when we go on a mission field. We talk in verse 1 that it was the year that King Uzziah died that Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up. Beloved, I want to believe that before the death of this man, the king, Isaiah never had this vision. He never saw what is mentioned here. Sometimes God wants us to do something, but there are things that stand in the way. And many times the Lord has to take away that which is standing in our way, that He might use us. But for us to be used, we must see something, not ourselves, not our problems. Beloved, we see many times our challenges. We have heard of the challenges that come with the power from the Lord. We see, beloved, I understand, well, X, he is more intelligent than me. He can do it. I have a family to support. I can't leave my job. Or I can take my time from my job. We see so many things around us. And we pray, because we see the need, but we talk about it. But do you realize that sometimes when the Lord shows us, He wants us to act on what we are seeing? Many times we see it, we talk about it, we mention it, and we say, Brother X, he could do more. Sister X, she can do more. But what have you done with what you have seen? What have you done with the burden you have seen? He saw not himself, but glorified and himself. You know, many times we see our brothers and we become so discouraged. We see the faults of each other. And we talk about the faults. We gossip about our brother and our sister. And we talk about their faults. But you know, the aim is what? We have to look away from ourselves, from our circumstances, from things around us, and see no man save Jesus. For us to be effective in this mission for the Lord, we must see no one else save Jesus. He saw the Lord high and lifted up. You know how we see the Lord, or how we see ourselves, how we see our problems. Man, it is hard for me to take care of my family. I can't leave my work and go to Bible study. I can go and share church. That is for those who are tired. I have a family to take care of. Will the saints give me money to keep my book? I mean, my excuses for not doing what God wants us to do. But if we see the Lord, then our life will change. Because I just saw the Lord, I and him to them. And something happened to him. As I said, I want to be brief. We have the mention of the seraphim and the cherubim, etc. But something happened to the post of the door that it shaped. There was not an earthquake, but it was the voice of him who cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Somebody spoke. I believe, beloved, that many of us have sat at a conference and something would have been telling us, we need to do something. Think about the Sunday school. Think about the young people who are. Think about your neighbor who is dying in sin. How did a call to you that God is saying, I'm speaking to you, I want your attention. But maybe we are taken up. It's something in our lives. And until God removes that, we will not see what He wants us to do. The door, the port of the door, was shaken by the voice of Him who cried. Isaiah saw something happen. The door shook. Which was the shake at the door? Then he heard a voice. Which was? Beloved, there was an experience that Isaiah had that very day that it was changed his life. And on access tonight, have we had an experience in this conference that will change our lives forever? Beloved, I suppose that some of us had an experience when we went at a great conference and so some beautiful as well remarking about it. But I want to tell you that when I went to Haiti, I saw an experience that shaped my life. We talk about poverty here in Jamaica. But it was heartrending to see people drinking water from the drain. Taking the water that went in the drain, wash their hands, wash their face, and drink it. To see mothers taking bone that you eat, that you lean back and share it for the children, and you do it out. There are people who need us, but to sit and feel comfortable where we are. Have we heard God speaking on our hearts? Have we felt His presence in a way that we have never experienced before? and the cloud of smoke filled the house. Something happened that day. The Lord was speaking. The Lord was doing something that Isaiah saw and asked us tonight, what has the Lord done in our hearts over these past days? Is it that we just came and gained knowledge of the mission field, of the work in the Caribbean, and we are going to say, we are one for that region. But that is all it is. Or has the Lord spoken to your heart? Brother, you know it has to be all to be used of the Lord. A little child can begin to do something for the Lord. I preached my first sermon when I was 9 years old. I learned my first time word to Christ at the age of 9. It's not on my microphone. We had those kind of paper rolls. We sat, or we stood at the steps, and we used that as a mic. We preached a word. People came and listened. Two great boys, 1 9, 1 11. They were mad, but they came and said, these boys are mad. 1 9, 1 11. What are you doing? 11. If God gives to your body, He says, not for the other man, it's for you. We must look inward within our heart and see what the Lord wants us to do. And if you see the Lord for yourself, then the Lord is saying, I want you. Not the brother, not the sister, it's for you. Then as Isaiah saw the Lord, he saw his enemies. You know, many times we justify ourselves. How good we are. And we seem to think that we are more righteous sometimes than others. But Isaiah saw his nothingness, and before we can be used of God, there will be a cleansing within our hearts. We must see our nothingness as compared to God, that we are nothing in his heart. Isaiah said, woe is me, for I am undone. I'm a man of unclean lips. And I go in the midst on clean. Because my eyes have seen the thing, the Lord of this. God wants to use us. But sometimes just take away the spiritual pride sometimes. The physical pride. The financial pride. The material pride. The self-righteousness. And all that comes in our own heart. Lord, we need to be broken. We have to ask, why is the Virgin Assembly not going? There is some time to depart. As servants, we are still not working with God. We sometimes have baggages in our own hearts. Sometimes there is sin in our own life. And in part because we know the world. But it's, where is our heart? How that is? How is it? Can you say, like Isaiah, woe is me, I am undone. Look at himself when he saw I was nothing, because he saw the Lord. And look, until we see the Lord, we will not move to do anything for the Lord. You know, it's time that we stop looking at each other and pointing finger. Let's see the Lord. The Lord is for the Lord. If you're not belong to brother X or sister Y, the work is done. And then we are told that his son was stuck with a life for a while, for a whole of a life. He was taken from the tongue from the bottom, and he touched my mouth, and said, before it has touched your lips, you will be taken away, and you still. This is Isaiah's prayer. And the Lord answered his prayer. Beloved, none of us is perfect. If there's anybody here who is perfect, we'll raise your hand. None of us. And the time we take to accuse each other, look at our own selves. We need to repent. We need to be promised. And seek Him and no one else. Then I said, Lord, the Lord was. Who shall I send? And who will go for us? And this is, if I want to make it us, when you use the book of it, who will go for us? Beloved, the mission field is mine. And I use that the word mission field that will bring pioneer work. But it doesn't, your home is a mission field. Your place at work can be a mission field. In the ghetto can be a mission field. Where you live can be a mission field. It is wide and ready for us. Beloved, it is time that we get up and realize that each one of us, we are far carrying a strong enough. But it is not enough to say it's something. Who will go for us? Who will speak to your neighbor? Who will speak to your children? Who will speak to your relatives? Who will help build the assembly? It's not just the brothers and sisters or the elders, it's all of us. Who will go for us? Maybe at the end of this conference, someone will leave with a special call from God. To a special one for the Lord. Therefore, there's need for help in Bahamas. And what I mentioned, that they have been called, but no one is on. Maybe you have seen, or you have thought, or you have felt, there is a need. But they say, it can't be me. It can't be me! Well, why can't it be you? Why can't it be you? Who will go for us? Who will revive the Sunday school? Who will revive the youth work? Who will speak to all our sisters? Who will teach the young brothers? Who will reach the young men on the street? Who will go for us? Beloved, the feeling is mine. And it is right and ready for us. Who will go? Isaiah said, "Hear O man." He didn't say, "Hear that brother." He said, "Hear O man." He had a positive encounter with Jesus. Beloved, it's our prayer that we leave and go home with a special burden on our hearts. Not to leave the work of another brother or sister, but to do what I know the Lord wants me to do. But first of all, I must see Him. I must have an encounter with Him. I must have my heart cleansed. I must hear His voice. I must respond to His voice. And I just said, "Hear O man, send me." Beloved, there is need for help anywhere to another. People are dying in sin. The need us. People are helping their party from time into eternity because Jesus Christ. We don't have to be a university graduate to be a youth, to be an effective youth for the Lord. Once we are available to Him, He will use us. Who shall I send? That is a question tonight. And who will go for us? I trust that the answer will be, "Hear my Lord, send me. In my own little corner, Lord, I can be used to lead at least one person to Jesus Christ. Who will go for me?" We all sit back and we depend upon a few to carry the world. Beloved, it's time to stop that. I trust today that you have an encounter with Jesus Christ that will change your life forever. I trust tonight that you say like Isaiah, "Hear my Lord, send me. Not the next brother, not the next sister, but me. Lord, send me. Give me, the Lord, tell me what you want me to do. I want to be used to you." And if each and one of us make this prayer, and we say, "Lord, hear my assembly," our assembly is will come in a speed of time. The families that are lost can come to know Christ. But it takes our effort. It takes that prayer. That surrendering of all our will. Of looking away from circumstances, from ourselves, and looking to Jesus Christ. Beloved, who will go to us? Here am I, send me.
In the book of Isaiah we read this marvelous vision of the Lord high and lifted up, was followed by a vision of himself and his nothingness. Woe is me. But then it was followed by a vision of the world. We cannot change the order. A vision of this high and lofty one that inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. May God help us to see the Lord Jesus in all his transcendent glory, all power. This is the word, as he gave the commission, is given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore, disciple all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. He saw his son. Who is he? I am undone. I am a man of unclean lips. Search the fear of God. Know my heart. Try me. See if there be any of the unity. Give him the reverence. As we see our nothingness, we cry to God concerning our condition and our conduct. And our expressions that are unlike his manhood. Thank God he's able to bring cleansing. But there is a third part of that vision that led God to say to him, go! But there were four voices. The voice of his holiness. Three parts of the vision. The vision of God, the vision of himself, the vision of the world. The voices. He heard the voice of the angels, the seraphims. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts. Whole world is full of his glory. Mary never lose sight of this vision and never lose a sense of that voice of holiness, excellence, God's standard. We begin there. The voice of confession. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Beloved, as Brother Kennard said, all of us are failures. All of us have failed. But God wants us to know that there is cleansing through confession. The voice of contemplation, holy, holy. The voice of confession. Holy Spirit. The voice of cleansing, Lord, this has touched thy lips. May we have a sense that God has come in our lives and has applied that blood. And he has forgiven our sins. And we need not look behind at the dark shadows so long as we've come to the place of confession. Know the sense of cleansing that all has been settled between ourselves and God.
The voice of God, the voice of the Lord was the third voice. I heard a voice for saying,
who shall I send? But behind today, we need to begin with a call. Who shall I send?
Go with him.
The voice of commission.
Voice of commission.
A voice of command.
Who shall I say?
Who should go for us?
The voice of Isaiah
comes again. Not now a voice of confession, but a voice of commitment. Here I am.
Send. Here I am. And he receives this voice of confirmation concerning the commission. Go. But now we just want to spend about a few minutes as we move from this Old Testament scripture with the three parts of the vision. The vision has three parts: God, ourselves, and the Lord. The voices begin with the voice of the angels in contemplation, holy, a standard that can never be compromised. The voice of confession that leads to the voice of cleansing. Lo, this is touched by lips. The voice of challenge, who shall go for us? Who shall I say that who will go for us? Voice of challenge. Was it good? Jeremiah. It was a commission. The book of Revelation, chapter 3, has a wonderful follow-up to this vision, to these visions and the voices of Isaiah. And it dovetails so wonderfully, but I cannot spend time on the dovetail. Just to highlight a few simple points. From the Lord's message to the last true church, and why I say the last true church in historical dispensational order, the voice to Philadelphia. Book of Revelation chapter 3 and verse 7. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia, right? This thing said, he that is holy. It's amazing, beloved, how the dovetail, but on this side I cannot commit much more. He that is true, and he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shut up, and shutteth and no man openeth, I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are chosen or not, but to lie. So amazing.
Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world, to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold fast that which thou hast. But though I take thy crown, him that overcometh will I make him a pillar in the temple of my God. And he shall go no more out, and will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God. And I will write upon him my new name. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the church. To the angel, the responsible element of the assembly, who are responsible for the state, who are held responsible for the state of the assembly, to the angel of the church in Philadelphia. Philadelphia means brotherly love. And beloved, this is something that has characterized us as a company for years. Brotherly love. Oh, that it might once more be the burning reality by this that all men know that ye are my disciples if ye have love one for another. May it once more characterize us that each one embraces the other in brotherly love. These things saith he that is holy, the vision of his holiness, the voice of his holiness rings once again. The standard is unchangeable. Christ is the beginning of all of these situations. One who is holy, excellent, in delight, in desire, in demand, in display. He that is true. No error he makes. And beloved, in terms of all that he says, and all who he sends as well, God does not make a mistake in what he says and in whom he sends. And beloved, if tonight any one of us hear his voice, what he says to us, he makes no mistake. And whom he is speaking to, he is making no mistake. He is true. He that hath the key of David, now there are two symbols of administrative authority in the scripture that are so interesting. The sword that is used for destruction. The key that is used for admission, beloved. And tonight the Lord wants to point us to himself as the one who administrates with the key, not the sword. He that opened up and no man shuts. May we hear this voice of opportunity and recognize he says something wonderful. He that open up and no man shuts. Let us bow under the covering of his hand and shuts and no one opens. When God, when the Lord Jesus closes the door, may you recognize it. Bow in submission. Bow in recognition, bow in the presence of his Lordship. But where he opens, beloved, let us realize he has given us an opportunity. And this is verse 8, I know thy works. Here's an assembly that you have to say, you have little strength. And I want to just put these two little words together. They were weak, but working. Little strength. I know thy works. You know, let us, as we heard today, as we heard previously, let us be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as we know that our labor is not in vain in the Lord. Weak, but working, let us toil on, faint not. The crown you seek is near. The prize you seek is near, the kingdom doesn't come. I don't know. We don't let's keep our hands. Lifetime is working hand. Working time spent on idle days. You all have set before thee. Now listen, the voice of the Lord Jesus, and all that is for the Kenner said, I might hear his voice personally. But if each one of us might hear from the Lord tonight personally. Behold, I have set before thee. In the authorized version of the old King James that I'm using, thee is singular. You is plural. So this, when it says thee in the authorized old King James version, it helps us to see that the Lord is speaking to no one else but you. Oh, that tonight, each one of us might forget the brother, the sister beside us or before us or behind us. It does not matter. Or that each one might hear his voice saying, I have set before thee.
Jerusalem and open the door. It's a door of opportunity.
It's coming from the voice of one who is holy, the one who is true, he makes no mistakes, his standards are unchangeable, and he's speaking to us, and he's not changing his mind. He is saying, I have sent before thee an open door. When I may hear his voice, and have that vision of himself, the one who is holy and true, that vision that comes from chapter 1 of Revelation, Son, behold, I have sent before thee an open door. May I hear that voice. Now,
I have set before thee an open door. What an opportunity. What an opportunity. God has given you an opportunity. Now. And no man can without God, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is God, God the Son, is given to each one of us a wonderful opportunity, an open door. An open door of service because of our faithfulness in the Scriptures. And this is one of the things that has characterized the little fellowship for years. May we continue to be faithful to the Scriptures. He says, for thou hast little strength, has known and has kept my word. A door of opportunity simply because we have been keeping his word though in weakness.
We've been seeking to remain faithful to the Scriptures, to walk the line, to toe the line, to follow the path, to walk in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake, to just hold on to the simple principles of Scripture. Many are derided, others may laugh, some may ridicule, but we have been holding on with weakness, the twos and the threes, the small numbers, the larger numbers, the whatever. We've been seeking to hold and to keep this word. And he says, because you have been keeping this word, though in your weakness, I am giving you an opportunity. May I hear this voice tonight, that though I've been trying to walk the path of separation, simply holding on to the Scripture that I understand, and there's been weakness, God is providing through that commitment to himself an open door and an open opportunity. Oh, that I might see that vision of the world, what this door is, what is the opportunity for me personally, and what it is for me is not necessarily for you. But each one tonight, the exercise to see the open door.
Has kept my word and has not denied my name. The name of Jesus, so sweet. What a lovely name, the name of Jesus. You can hold on to that name because you believe he is not only man, but he is also God. God the Son. And you know in this verse, they have nothing but Christ. Nothing but Christ. Did we sing that stuff? Nothing but Christ as all we tread. The gift on Christ of Christ. The Apostle Paul says there is an open door, but there are many adversaries. Verse 9 brings the challenges of any open door. But the enemy is not going to stand idle by. But the Lord has given us a promise, a commitment. I have given you an open door and no man can shut it. No one. The devil, the gates of hell cannot prevail against it. Beloved, if the Lord Jesus says he's the one who opens and no man shuts, he's the one who shuts and no man opens, and he says to us, I'm giving you, thee personally, an open door and no man can shut it. The enemy cannot close it. Beloved, if it closes down, it's the Lord who shuts it, and he shuts it only because we fail to seize the opportunity. We're going to see that shortly. We all either make them on the synagogue of Satan, we say they're Jews and are not, but do lie. We all either make them become a worship before thee. I don't want to spend time on that part, but this is a little word. Because I have loved them. we will never lose a sense of the tremendous love of the Lord Jesus for each one of us. And again, I want to emphasize that in King James it is the, which means the personal love. The Lord's love for me. It doesn't matter who or what or where. To know that I have loved thee. The Son of God will love me and give himself for me. We can never measure this love. For God so loved. It's unlimited. You know, I love to think that God, as he thought of me, as he thought of you, he decided to choose to pour all of his compassion and grace and goodness upon me in an unlimited way. What will be the now on us which now just every for standing because of us kept from the word. Love, may we be faithful to the scriptures. No matter how hard it may look, although we know his commandments are not grievous, no matter what he says to us, whatsoever he says to you, to me, as Mary had to say to the servant. I ask him to keep me from the hour of temptation or trial which will come upon the air, all the world to try them that come upon the air. That's the great tribulation. Verse 11, behold, I completely. Hold fast that which I ask. Beloved, we have not lost everything. We have not lost everything. This is something we need to remember. The Lord Jesus, so long as we're in this scene, so long as we can see that door of opportunity, so long as we have this life in our life in our beings, let us remember, he says, hold fast for that fast which thou hast. You know, he says that no man say thank God. This tells me that the door of opportunity for me personally, if I do not seize it, he is going to use somebody else to do the work. This is very humbling because it tells me that I am not in this dispensable. I am not the indispensable. The Lord can use another. But the challenge tonight is, he said, I don't want you to look around right now. I want you to look at the door of opportunity that I am opening for you personally. And I want you to hold on to whatever you have, however I have formed and molded and fitted you until now. The one who has begun the good work in you, the one who's going to complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Hold fast that which you have in the scriptures, in relation to your standing, in relation to all that you have been accomplishing and trying and doing for him. Hold it fast. Remain faithful. Hold fast that which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Now the Lord Jesus wants to reward us. He wants us to really work and labor for him because he's going to return, because he's going to review our lives, because he wants to reward us. He's going to return, he's going to review our lives, he wants to reward us. But we have to remain faithful. And if we remain faithful, we end up overcoming. And will I make a permanent wonderful display structure. We go back to the temple picture. In the temple of my God, the place in the world where Isaiah had the vision, we will end up there with our eternal vision of this one. We shall go no more on. The time of service will have passed. Only one night will soon be passed. And only what's done for Christ will last. And I will write upon him the name of my God. You know, this is something that we love to do. And the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, it simply speaks of ownership. When you get a new book, or a new item, or something that you want to show that you own it, the first thing you do is to write your name in the book. It's just ownership. God says, I am going to make sure that everybody knows to whom we belong. New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God, and I'm going to write upon it my new name. My new name, he's going to write his name on us. He's not going to write my name on me. He's going to write his name on me. Holy shit. And the last thing he says, he has a name. Heaven. Remember the other vision and the promise. A vision in three parts. The voice in several parts. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit said unto the churches. May God help each of us to hear his voice. I have said before thee, I will be with thee. May we, with the energy of the Spirit of God, seize the opportunity to pour our lives out. As we say, without reserve, without retreat, and without regret. For it is.
Amen.